Hello and welcome to the Arena Sports Show. My name is Chloe Grace Infanza, and well, on today's episode, we have a family meeting. And in this meeting, in this episode, we'll be talking all things Kaizer Chiefs. We'll bring in a legend in just a bit, but allow me to introduce my family to you. All right, I've got Sizwe Mabena, who's the uncle. Today, he brought new shoes. So, you know, every time in a family, you've got someone who'll bring in new shoes. Sizwe Mabena is that uncle today. And of course, he's got a new shirt as well. So this is my uncle who, you kind of get the idea what kind of uncle we're dealing with. And then, of course, Matlatsin Patlele, sports journalist, and he's the cool, calm, collected one who, of course, bring in, of course, the insight and what's been happening. But before we get into Kaizer Chiefs, let's start out by finding out what's been happening on your headlines.
Mamelodi Sundowns will have to produce a strong performance to overturn a 1-0 deficit against Tunisian giants Esperance when they meet at Loftus on Friday night. The Brazilians host Esperance at their hugely anticipated CAF Champions League second leg clash in Pretoria, with a place in the final and the FIFA World Club Cup at stake. Ngaba Peter's mix of sliders and googlies propelled the Lions into the final of the CSA T20 Challenge after a comprehensive 8-wicket win against neighbours, the Titans, at the Wanderers on Wednesday night. The Lions will host the final at the Wanderers in Johannesburg on Sunday against the winner of the second semi-final between the Warriors and the Dolphins on Thursday in Durban. Netball South Africa has unveiled the 15-member SPA Proteas squad under the leadership of newly appointed coaches Jenny van Dijk and Zanele Mdodana as the team gears up for the 2027 Netball World Cup in Sydney, Australia. The squad that boasts a blend of seasoned campaigners and emerging talent comprises of 7 domestic and 8 overseas-based players. It also includes 9 members of the 2023 Netball World Cup, like Stillwood's Carla Pretorius, Ina Marie Venter, Kanyisa Shawani, and Almarie van der Berg.
And while we move over to one of my favorite features on the show, Star of the Week, where we basically choose who has impressed us, or be it a club officials who have impressed us in the last past days. And because my new uncle is wearing everything new, we'll start with him. Sizwe Mabena, let us know who has impressed you. Who's your Star of the Week?
I have to say, the Olympic Games are coming up.
Yeah.
We're all, of course, we'll be focusing on that. South Africa's hoping for medals and so on. Mm-hmm. And we have a new 200-meter champion in the country. And I say this because he beat Wade van Niekerk to the mark. So that's quite an achievement for a 20-year-old from the Northwest. Benjamin Richardson, a big guy, powerful runner, was a junior SA champ. Now he's a senior SA champ. He's qualified for the Olympic Games. He's still 20 years of age. Mm-hmm. If you're beating Wade now, the future looks like it might be quite bright for you going forward. So this is someone I'm not only hoping has done well over the last 7 days, but someone who's going to carry the South African flag for some time in the sprint world going forward. So that's my player of the week, or star of the week, so to speak.
All right, Matlatsin Patlele, what about you?
I'm excited about the Olympics, but I'll have to wait.
Shade today, eh?
Yeah, well, I'll go with Sundowns.
I knew it. Sizwe Mabena, did I not tell you before the show?
I'll go with Sundowns. They've just broken another record. 22 matches from the start of the season without a loss. You know, if you look at the records that Sundowns have broken this season, it's going to take something extraordinary to break all these records. They've broken all sorts of records, and they just keep on going. This record they broke against Sekhukhune. It was a match they won 2-1 with the coach having changed the entire 11 from the guys who played in the Champions League over the weekend. And they just keep on going. I checked the numbers now. They need only 6 points to win the league from 8 matches. If that's not dominance, then I really don't know.
All right, not too shabby, and I know you're not going to ask me because you guys are not on a roll today. My star of the week has to be Xavi. He's decided to, of course, make a U-turn, right? He was leaving Barcelona at the end of the season, but he's decided that he will stay with Barcelona until 2025. And I thought, that is absolutely interesting. I love it, especially when you look into the Madrid side. We won't complain at all.
I thought you were saying Xavi Alonso out in Germany with what he's done with Leverkusen.
I would, but I think this, I mean, top story happening currently. I thought, listen, absolutely brilliant. You don't see a lot of U-turns. I know a lot of fans now are saying, Klopp, maybe you can make a U-turn too now. anything is possible until the season is over. All right, we then now move over to something a bit different. I think when you buy new shoes, essentially, you're going to want to bring a bit more flavor and introduce, you know, new things. Sizwe Mabena, you got a rapper for us today. Talk to us about what Pusha T is doing.
Firstly, for those that don't know, Pusha T is an American rapper.
That's directed to Mathias Mathilde, by the way.
Featured in a lovely track with Kendrick Lamar about 2 years ago that did quite well. Mm-hmm. Also, the only guy that's had a rap beef with Drake and won it, where you say make a song about the other guy and then make a nasty song about you, but he beat Drake hands down.
Did you just explain what a battle is?
Yeah. For those that don't know. But what Pusha T has done recently, he's come out with an F1 freestyle, we like to call it. Mm-hmm. He's rapping only F1, only Red Bull. Mm-hmm. And the success Max Verstappen last season, the number of races they've won, but it's how creatively he's put it all together. That for me is something any sports fan, any F1 fan, I thought of you as soon as I heard it, Chloe, I had to phone you and force you to listen to it.
Yeah.
But any F1 fan would love. And I thought it's something some of our viewers would love as well. And it's just something creative that contributes to the sporting world, but in a different sort of light. So let's take it with Pusha T then, yeah?
All right, let's quickly take, of course, a listen to Pusha T. Performance from Pusha T. Mahlatsi Mphahlele now knows about Pusha T and who Pusha T is, but we keep things moving. And we go, of course, to Mamelodi Sundowns. Mahlatsi Mphahlele did mention that they are, of course, star of his week, that club. But now, CAF Champions League, that's where the eye is. But before we look into that encounter, Coach Rulani Mokoena mentioned something quite, I thought, I don't know, it moved me and I felt a bit sad. And the reason why I felt a bit sad is because when you look into Sundowns and what they're trying to do and how obsessed Coach Rulani Mokoena is, to say that he didn't feel appreciated, I thought, sheesh, that's a bit big. Mahlatsi Mphahlele, talk to us about that. I mean, not feeling appreciated, I love the fact that he admitted to being tired, because we all get tired. I understand that. Yeah. But the appreciation part, I mean, I thought you're always there. Don't you show him appreciation?
Yeah, I think we have shown appreciation. I think we have shown him some love. We have showered him with praises whenever he did well. The amount of laughter to learn God when he won AFL was big, you know. When they won the league last season, it was big, you know. I'm really struggling to understand what more can the media do? What more can the fans do? What more can fans of other teams do? I would think that they really don't care.
They even got praises for the AFCON.
You know.
South Africa's success in the AFCON was Sundowns.
Was attributed to what Sundowns has done. He recently has been saying things which we can say are perplexing at most. He looks tired when you just look at him, and I mean I guess to a large extent it's understandable because of just the punishing schedule that Sundowns goes through. And I did say to him the other day that, I mean, if you look like this, can you imagine how the players look like?
Mm-hmm.
He was giving us their program the other day. They came back from Tunisia just after midnight. The players were in the swimming pool until about 1:30 in the morning. They went home, and then he was back at Klerkdorp, a few hours later, 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard work to do stuff like that. But obviously, he's not alone. I mean, there's quite a complement of staff around him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, those people are suffering, and, you know, If you also look at other teams around the league, most coaches look like they are working very hard.
Yeah.
It's just that their schedule is not as tough as Sundowns are. So, yeah, it was quite a vague, perplexing statement just came out of the blue for him to say he doesn't feel appreciated, because I think fans do, media do, we do appreciate what Sundowns are doing on the continent.
Mm.
You know, I spent some time about 3-4 weeks ago with Mangoba Mnithi. I told you guys about that interview I had with him. But we were speaking off the mic, and I was showering him with compliments, as anyone would do. Good day, man. You guys have done a great job for a long time. Keep it going. And then I asked him a question about job satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
This is just when we were chatting. And I was shocked at the answer he gave me. He spoke of the pressure at Sundowns. And I was like, it's like, no, you guys don't understand. You guys see us with a success. And he tried to explain it to me. It didn't really hit home. I could see he was at pains of trying to get me to understand about the amount of pressure they are under still.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're cruising towards the end of the season, they're cruising towards the PSL Championship. It was like the pressure they're receiving behind the scenes. I'm maybe thinking maybe from management, I'm not sure. It's still so immense that to them, the success in the past is in the past. It's about what they're doing in the future. And the future for them is not just PSL, it's also the continent and maintaining that. A semi-final finish in the Champions League, he said, is not good enough. And it will stress them and so on. So I think when Rulani says what he says, I think back to the conversation I had with Manuel Mnithi, when he walked away, I was looking at him thinking, what do you mean? You know? But now Rulani comes out and says this now, and I think I understand what they're both saying, which is, look, the past is the past. We're looking ahead, and we're trying to still set the bar higher than what we did last season. It's not good that we didn't win the Champions League last season and so on.
I get the pressure part, Sizwe Mabena, but I guess the appreciation will be a bit perplexing at the point, but hopefully we'll get to unpack it, you know, in future and have Coach Rulani Mokoena join us. But let's find out what more he has to say in terms of course, the appreciation or the lack of appreciation.
On my demeanor, I'm tired. I'm tired. I must tell you, I'm very tired. I'm tired. And there's a lot going on, but no one cares. I've just got to get on with it. I have to do press conferences. Maybe I've got 6 press conferences to do every week because I play 3 games. I've got to talk to you. I've got to plan training. I've got to watch 4 or 5 games. Esperance, I had to watch 8 games of Esperance. I've got to then do corrections. And people will say, yeah, but he's talking about fatigue and being tired, the player's tired, but he's got 46 players. But there's only one head coach, and the head coach suffers with the players too. He's got work to do. He's got to suffer and analyze and check and this. And I can't, I'm allowed to, by the way. I'm human, and it's perfectly normal for someone to be tired, and I'm tired. And also, to tell you the truth, I don't feel appreciated. I don't think the sacrifices, I don't think the amount of investment and sacrifice that we give, and I can say it for myself also, is appreciated, to be honest with you. So it affects me because I'm human, and I'm not afraid to say it, because sometimes to speak about your weaknesses is a good thing, because then you are able to know how to galvanize yourself and find strength. But I'm strong. I have the support of the club. I have the support of the players, which is very, very important. I get constant calls, messages. In fact, my players are the ones that are constantly saying to me, hey, can you sleep a little bit? You know, we need you to sleep. They're on my case every day. They say to me, can you ask Tammy? He'll tell you. They're the first ones. Can you sleep a little bit? But I can't sleep, because the moment I sleep is the moment the people will beat us. And the only thing I know, is to continue what we are doing with the results, with the performances, to improve even the performances, because they have to improve in what is a very, very abnormal season. It's an abnormal season, this. Last season, we didn't have the Telkom knockout. We played one extra game in that competition. Okay. We didn't have the AFL. The AFL had six games, three games that you had to travel for. We didn't have AFCON, where we had Peter Shalulile at AFCON. Plus, I had 8-9 players from Sundowns playing almost every single game for. I don't have time for training. I can't train the team. And then it's about video. So if I sleep and I don't prepare the video every day, they know. Every day they come in, there's a video session. And there's details and there's things that is supposed to happen. And that's the only way I know. I don't know any other way to succeed. I don't know any other way to give back to this football club and repay them for the loyalty that they've shown to me, to give me this opportunity. I don't know any other way except to sacrifice my sleep, except to sacrifice my health and to deliver the results. I don't know any other way. And I will continue to do that. And maybe that is a way. I don't know how to answer more, but that maybe that is a way to answer your question. That's just where I am, the space that I find myself in at the moment.
While keeping things moving, we do know that the CAF Champions League is upon us. And of course, Mahlatsi Mphahlele, as per usual, I think you were hoping to get footage and interviews when you went to Clockop, but it didn't happen for you this week. I saw a lot of our journalists saying that we left because we were unattended. But when you look into the schedule, and I think that's the interesting thing for me when Mamelodi Sundowns, because you look into Esperance, they had a week off. There was no midweek fixtures that they had, but Mamelodi Sundowns had to play during the week. And we talk about, of course, how big the squad is. But you look into Esperance, it's just 10 players difference. I looked at the registered players and I was like, no, it's just 10 players different. We can't say that, no, because of the number of players, then they deserve to play midweek.
Yeah, I think Sundowns find themselves in a very, very difficult situation because they're playing so many matches. And there's one thing which is not clear from both the PSL and Sundowns as to... Like from Sundown's side, they are not clear as to whether they've asked for postponements to the PSL. Mm-hmm. And then the PSL are also not clear if Sundowns have asked for the postponement from Sundowns.
My issue there, and that's a good point you're making, is it's not the first time Sundowns are in the situation.
Yeah.
Last year they were in the situation, the year before that. So a little bit of forward thinking by now, one would think should be afforded them.
Because, I mean, also if you look closely at the schedule, the PSL schedule, it's very, very, very tight. They've just reworked Sundowns' fixtures now. They're pretty much playing after every 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Even on Friday, they play on Monday.
So it's very difficult like that. And this season also is a bit hectic because we have got one more cup competition compared to last season.
Yes.
Last season, there was no Telkom or Kalim Black Label.
Yes.
Now you have
the African
Black Label
League.
And the AFL. And you can only fit all these matches within a prescribed period of time.
Mm.
And there was AFCON also, where we spent almost 2 months without playing. So it's a complicated one. And I spoke to somebody who said to me that maybe it may be in Sundowns' favor not to postpone the matches so that they play, as even if it's as jam-packed as it is, so that they get over and done with it. Because we don't want them piling matches and then having a problem at the latest. I don't know, to me it looks like
we're working in favor of the league here. The league wants to close at a certain date and everyone's matches must be done at a certain date. It looks organized, it looks good, yes, but it's working against Sundowns. I'll tell you why. I recently did TP Mazembe and Alakhli time off. Alakhli came into that game against TP Mazembe having played last few days before against Zamalek. Tough game, but they still had the time off ahead of the Mazembe game. Mazembe had time off. When I did the Sundowns Young Africa game, they'd also had some days off before the Sundowns game. Everybody, all the top clubs in the continent
are being
thought of in this regard by their countries or by their respective leagues. The only one that's not doing it is Sundowns. And I'm not saying it because Sundowns is their first time in the semifinals now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've been there for so long now. We should have sorted this out long ago.
I fully agree with you. Sundowns need to have enough time for them to prepare for matches, especially CAF and FIFA and all these bodies always talk about player welfare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's extremely taxing on the bodies of the players,
mm-hmm.
especially the Sundowns players, to be traveling the way they are traveling.
Mm-hmm.
These guys don't get to see their children and their wives and their girlfriends because they're always on the road. But now also what I don't understand and what I want the league and Sundowns to clarify, has Sundowns asked for postponements? And also the league must come and tell us, if Sundowns has asked for postponement, what have they said?
For sure.
If Sundowns, if the league has rejected Sundowns postponement, why? Because if you ask Sundowns, Sundowns says no, talk to PSL. If PSL, talk to Sundowns. So I think they must come out, the both of them, and explain to us to say, okay, we have had discussions, you know, this is where we are. Because at the moment, we don't know. But I fully agree. These guys are playing too many matches. It's just not. It is just not. Not good for their bodies.
Well, when Makhazi
travels to, let's say, where were you earlier this year? Cote d'Ivoire, right? It takes him 2-3 days to travel. Comes back, he still sleeps for a day or two, and he doesn't even play. He just sits there.
Can you imagine the guy who's playing?
It's
the same for us commentators. We rest. We get tired just traveling. Can you imagine the guys that are running around training and playing? It's different. It's, come on. We have
it
to
definitely
be human.
Is. To pick up on the well-being, what I find absolutely interesting, so the entire squad come Monday when they're preparing to play Sekhukhune, everybody was in camp, whether you were playing or not. And I thought, sheesh, to bring in everybody, I would expect, you know, the resting players, your normal starting 11, to rest at home. That was not the case. They had to go to camp. Come Tuesday, they all had Loftus. I saw them. They all looked so tired. And I'm like, my goodness, guys.
Hence, the coach said they landed on, Monday morning. Monday, just after midnight. They went to Tlorkop. They went into the swimming pool to regenerate for an hour or whatever the time of the period is. And then they went home to rest.
Back again.
And then they come back again to Tlorkop during the day on Monday
to train
to prepare for the match on Tuesday. And then when they finish at Tlorkop, they don't go home. They go to the hotel to camp for the match on Tuesday.
It's
too much. After traveling for almost 12 hours from North Africa.
And then you must also consider how many of their players were at the AFCON as well.
Absolutely insane. But okay, before we get out of here, how do we see this game panning out? So we'll start with you, Sizwe Mabena, because we know that normally in Pretoria we say it rains goals. Do you see it raining goals at Loftus?
Hasn't been raining goals of late, let's be honest. It's been a while since Sundowns scored three in the game. And lately, we saw it with Kukune as well. But then that was a different 11. Where Sundowns looked as though they weren't themselves. But when the strong Sundowns team is playing, like we're talking the regulars, for me, the biggest issue I'm finding with Sundowns is box entries and clear-cut chances within the box. My biggest complaint of late has been you can't have the player that's having your most chances at goal being your deep-lying midfielder shooting from 30, 25 yards out, and he'll have four shots a game.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether he scores or not. The thing is, my concern is he's getting more chances than anybody else. There's people in front of him. So Sundowns creating clear-cut chances for their front three is just not happening against sides with a low block of late. Or it's becoming harder and harder for them. Esperance did that playing at home where they had the low block. They're like, okay, you can have the ball. We'll just hit you on the counter. It worked for them.
For sure.
So that is the challenge for Sundowns for me. It's getting clear-cut chances and creating many of them and good chances too.
Mahlatsi, talk to us. I mean, how you see then Sundowns lining up on this one? Because a lot of the fans have been complaining and saying that Lorch is not the player that they need in this CAF Champions League, saying that he should not start, better off come from the bench. Do you see a Lorch starting? How do you see Mamelodi Sundowns approaching this game?
Yeah, I see Lorch starting. I actually don't see too much departure from the team that played in Tunis. It will pretty much be the same team, and it explains why the coach sort of took them off. They were seated there in their tech suits in the VIPs, relaxing. I think it's good for them to rest a bit, you know. The coach did say that. He said to them, don't contact me. Go spend time with your kids and your loved ones. Come back refreshed. And I'm sure that day or two of just not worrying about football will do them a lot of good. Sometimes these guys just need to take mind off football and worry about going to fetch the kids at school, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After all, they're women. They need to do this. They need to do things that normal people do.
Human.
Mm-hmm. Human.
It sounded like you said women. No. I was like, oh.
You know, so I expect a similar kind of team, mm-hmm. similar kind of approach.
Mm.
Coach Ulani is taking time to integrate Tembingo's lodge as much as possible.
Mm.
Lodge is not a lodge of 2-3 years ago, and we will all have to agree.
Yeah.
And he's faced with a lot of work.
He's not having horror shows.
He's not bad.
You know? I think some of the criticism is a bit harsh.
But we can all agree that it's not peak lodge.
No.
You know? With the love that he gets from Coach Lani, maybe he will get there. But Sundowns will pretty much the same. I mean, Tebza will be there, Vala will be there, Grant Kakana will be there, Aubrey will be there, Lucas Ribeiro, Allende. There's also, I think, a question mark around Peter Salulide. He has struggled of late. That also means that what kind of approach is he going to play?
Yeah.
You are in a situation where you are 1-0 down. You have to score 2 goals and stop them from scoring. How do you plan it to become cautious? Because in games like this, the longer it takes, if they get to half time still 1-0, still 0-0, they will start panicking and... they'll come back in the second half, they will rise to score, uh-huh. open up at the back, and they get punished. So it needs a game that where players like Aumishishi will have to dig deep into their CAF Champions League experience.
Yeah. Mm.
And really manage the game the way it should be, so that they play the right way, and they can get a quick goal, go and get another one, put Esperance under pressure. But if they don't do that, I fear for them because there's a lot riding on this match. They have to get to the final.
All right, so quickly before I let you guys go, I'll start with you, Sizwe Mabena. When you look into the bench, right, you always want someone that's going to come from the bench and impact the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I asked this, and I thought absolutely brilliant, I was watching the game against, of course, the Kakuna United, Tapelo Moreno, where he started off as a striker.
Yeah,
and I thought, my goodness, I didn't see that one coming, but I was so excited by it. And then after they managed to goal, and then, of course, went back to his original position. And I thought, sheesh, he's versatile. He can give you a bit more. So talk to us about the bench. Who do you think could also impact the game?
You read my...
You were going to go
with Tapelo? I knew the question was going. I'll tell you why. Let me just quickly answer your question. I'll tell you why.
Uh-huh.
I like him for very many reasons. It's not the first time I've seen him play striker, by the way, at Sundowns. They've done it before in the past. I'm just not sure whether it was Pito or Lani at the time.
Yeah.
I think it was Pito who did it before. But you remember Bafana AFCON. First game, we crash. Second game, amongst the changes made is Moreno. But not playing as a right back, playing as a right winger.
Mm.
And he makes a difference. And that's what I mean about Moreno. You can play him also right winger. He'll make a difference. You can play him center as a striker. Twice he broke through with through balls straight down the middle from Bule. Beautiful through balls, yes, but it's also the movement that's a bit different from Shabalala, who plays with his back to goal and sort of plays back and then turns and goes into the box. He now makes those runs that break the defensive line, so you could use him as a secret weapon that way. So for me, that one guy that comes into the picture could give you a lot defensively, offensively, creatively.
For sure.
It's Tapelo Moreno. I rate him highly, have his entire career.
Yeah. Also, if you look at the Sundowns bench, they've got enough experience there. And also the key thing here, again, I'll go back to the issue of Peter. If he doesn't start, he becomes a critical impact player when he comes on in the second half. I was happy to see River playing against Kukune.
Oh, yeah.
He's somebody who... if there's a situation there in the middle field, he can come in and, you know, he's got a long, short-range pass and he can really take the game by the scrum of his neck and do things. So they've got a couple of players. Esquivel, I know there's not too much experience in the Champions League, but he's somebody who can come and surprise package, you know, eliminate players and make things happen. Gaston Serino. So they've got the guys with experience in the CAF. The one thing I've seen about Esperance is that they've got a lot of players from West Africa. And I think going forward is one area where Sundowns must look at.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because you watched their training session. Talk to us quickly what you noticed from this Esperance team.
Very good. Resilience, man. Very good. Obviously, we didn't have to watch much of the session, but just been around the guys. They're a proper Champions League team. They rock up there in two big passes. The one for the players, the one for the technical team.
Sure.
You can see that there's no banga business.
Yeah, professional.
Yeah, they are at Pretoria University using the proper facilities. They stay at the Sheraton. And they came just in time. They'll have, two, three sessions here in South Africa. Acclimatized to the conditions.
I still say that's where we kill ourselves as South Africans.
And, what? You know?
Everyone comes here. Mm-hmm. We give them the best facilities.
Yeah, but
we give them the best hotels, incentives.
We should do better,
You know what makes the difference?
Yeah.
If Al Ahly comes here, they own their own book at Sheraton. They've got people here in South Africa who gets them the best
parts. Yes.
They've got people at University of Pretoria who give them the best training facilities.
Yes.
They don't rely on the accommodation that someone is going to give them. No. You make your own arrangements. They involve the embassy. The ambassador makes sure that each and every single thing that they need is available and catered for. And that's what you do if you want to win the Champions League.
100%. And Coach Rulani Mokoena speaks, of course, about how it's a bit tough to win the CAF Champions League. And there's a reason why it could take about 4 years. Let's find out what more he has to say in terms of course, how rigid the CAF Champions League is.
We've got to work hard for it. We've got to suffer for it. We've got to lose sometimes in the games like we lost away from home to learn how to play the Champions League and how not to make mistakes in the Champions League. But this can only happen if you go through the journey. And I've got a 4-year contract here. And all I'm asking for from the Sundowns fans even is give me 4 years to try to win. I'm not asking for 8. I'm asking, give me 4 years to try to win the Champions League. It's going to happen. I'm 100% sure it's going to happen. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not going to be easy. Is it going to be win, 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 win all the time? No, it's not going to be win, win, win all the time. Is it going to be pretty football and play well all the time? No, it's not going to be pretty football all the time. But we will get there. I watched Al Ahly versus Mazembe. My goodness, I must tell you, I fell asleep. It was so, I tell you, I fell asleep. And I said to myself, no, I've got to get Red Bull and watch this game properly. Because, I ask myself the scenarios. Al Ahly is going to Congo and is playing away. And they are very happy with the performance that they gave, plus a 0-0. We go away and the fans expect us to win against a team that's won 4 Champions League trophies. And sometimes you've got to be a little bit realistic. You know, we have to understand how many Champions League games has this group played? How many times have they played the semi-final? How many times have they played the final? Most of these players here, apart maybe from Dennis, apart maybe from Mshishi, have never played a Champions League final. And so what does that say to you? It means it's a process. And it's a process that we are committed to. We are working very hard towards trying to achieve. But it's going to come with ups and downs, some bad results. And to be honest, I don't think the performance was that bad. I still don't think the performance was that bad. I think Esperance are a good side. I think they are well coached. I think they've got some very good things that they do on the pitch. But I also think Sundowns is a very, very good side. It's also a team that is well coached and also does a lot of very good things on the pitch. And for that, I will always be very proud of this team. And now it's to focus and try to overturn the result. And we'll do everything that we can to do that. We 100. Sometimes I get the feeling that the people think that I'm happy when the team doesn't play well, or I'm happy and satisfied when the team loses. I bleed just as much as the supporters. I suffer. I even punish myself. I can stay and not eat. I left Klokop. We arrived. We arrived around midnight. We did regeneration for about 45 minutes. I left Klonkop 2:30 in the morning, knowing that on the same day, the next day, we are in camp. We're meeting and going to camp. But those are the things that some of the people don't know, because they think, oh, the coach is happy that the team's not playing, or this one's not playing well, or that one, and the coach is happy. No, the coach suffers, because before he coaches the team, he's the number one fan. He is a fan of the club before anything else. And so I'm part of this process. And when everyone feels the pain, believe me, I feel the pain too. I might not feel it to the extent of some of the Sundowns fans, but I feel the pain and I feel it deeply. So that's just me going on a rant about the Champions League, because I just get the feeling that people think, they'll just win the Champions League. It's a very difficult competition. And when Jose Mourinho spoke of football heritage, watch European Champions League. Real Madrid versus Man City. You don't have to go far. Man City, by far the best team over both legs. By far. But they've got no heritage. Real Madrid have this obsession with the competition. And then the football gods say, we know this guy. This one always buys us flowers and chocolates. And even in difficult moments when the relationship is not so strong, this one will never stray from us. He's close. And so what does it do? It favors that. And that's the position we have to get to, where we are flirting with the Champions League so much that it decides to leave the North African teams and says, I found a new husband. And that's what we have to do. We have to take it on the dates all the time. Semi-final, semi-final, final, semi-final, final. We keep taking it out on dates. And that's what we have to do. Eventually, it will say, yes, I do. We can go now to the altar. Eventually.
Well, keeping things moving, and of course, in our family meeting today, we bring in a man who has played at Kaizer Chiefs, and he knows a bit more than Mahlatsi Mphahlele and Sizwe Mabena. We've got the legend who has actually won trophies with Kaizer Chiefs. Rafani Madida joins us now. Rafani, thank you so much for joining us. And I mean, just to get into the conversation about Kaizer Chiefs, let's start about the foundation. We know that you hosted a gala dinner not so long ago, and one thing that I absolutely love is the fact that you've also included different provinces, especially in Mpumalanga, because I'm from Mpumalanga, so I will be a bit biased in that. And okay. So talk to us about that.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for the invite, Claude. I would say Claude in French.
I'll take it.
There is a lot of talent. That's where I have to start. There is a lot of talent in Mpumalanga.
Yeah.
I was doing a program with the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, because I'm an ambassador. We are like 15 or so sports from different sporting codes. Mm. So beautiful talent in Mpumalanga. I was so amazed.
Yeah.
Going back to the foundation, it is called Disa 34 Foundation, as you can see here. Mm. 34 comes from a number of goals that I scored in a season playing for Kaizer Chiefs, 1991 and 92.
Yeah.
So the foundation is named after that. We say we uplift communities through sport, because there is a lot of talent, like I'm just mentioning Mpumalanga, that is out there, but these kids are not getting opportunities in the main, because football in our space in South Africa, it depends who you are. And it pains me a lot, because I was just a boy from Newcastle playing in Tembisa in an open field, and somebody saw a potential in me, and the rest is history. Sitting before your eyes today because of that.
And you use the word beautiful, and that's something that you use a lot in your conversation. I remember in the 2008, 2009 season when you introduced, of course, George Lubisi, and you said, I spotted a beautiful player in Lubisi, and you had to call, of course, Mushin into it. And I find it interesting that years later, it's still how you describe, you know, the upcoming players and the talent that you see. Mahlatsi, you've got to follow up on that.
Yeah, before I follow up, by the way, I missed the gala dinner last week Friday, because I was tackled by flu.
Yeah, you were sick. You were terrible when you're sick.
I'm told he was not happy with me, but I've apologized. You know, I think going with the issue of the foundation, just you know how important it is for individuals like you, our clubs, to really do proper scouting, because we have always said the players are there. The issue is just in case of finding them.
It's always difficult, Mahlatsi, because some people are not able to identify an unearthed talent, because the process of a player identification, it starts with you identifying him, and then you need to scout him, and then you need to do talent surfing so that you see this rough diamond that other people cannot see. Jomo was the best in doing that. I don't know, maybe it's because of age now he's no longer doing that. But so it is so important for us as former players to do that, because we can see the talent, and we then don't become jealous. You give the talent to the next team or to the nearest team. You're talking about Chiefs. The biggest problem at the Chiefs at the moment, it's scouting, it's profiling of players, because you have to have a player that is a player for Chiefs.
Yes.
So you look at Sundowns, they are successful because those players are in the main players for Sundowns. So is Orlando Pirates. So if they have to go back to that template, then they will probably change their fortunes.
I think I'm the luckiest person in South African football today, on this particular day.
Oh, Brafani, he's been telling us this since 6 a.m.
I spent the morning with Shane McGregor.
Wow.
The afternoon with his legendary strike partner. So, and the good news is both of you are still involved in the game. Both of you are still giving back to the game. And both of you gave so much of yourselves to the game, like you say, 34 goals in your playing days, something we're not used to today.
Yeah.
What was it about, let's say, that partnership and who you guys are as people that made it work to a point where you understood each other, you scored goals, and have since still stay in the game, but still give so much to the game?
Let me tell you something that is interesting. I was born in December.
Mm-hmm.
So December 7, I'm a Sagittarian.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Shane McGregor was born in December 5. Is a Sagittarius.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Siyabonga, Nomvete was born on the 2nd, I think, of December. You see, all those players are born in December.
Yes.
Fortunately,
I was also born in December.
I haven't seen you scoring a peanut. So I think there was always that telepathic movement.
He says the same thing
amongst between us with Shane McGregor, because he was much more of a person, you know, those old strikers. He could hold the ball for you, so he would take the pain for the team and for me and lay it, and then I would just come running, because my strength, Claude, then was speed. That was my strength. So and I had an eye of scoring a goal, so I think those were the ingredients.
That big ball together.
So I want to pick that up, Brafani, because I have this conversation a lot in terms of synergy, right? And I remember having the conversation with my Jens and the likes of Bracheri as Kasana, and they always said that the biggest thing that made Pirates tick back then was that they actually spent time together. You know, I think sometimes we underestimate that quality, where Cesar says, no, but Chloe, I don't like it when Umpasa so. I prefer it that way. So the conversation, when you look into Kaizer Chiefs, do you see synergy within these players? Do you think that they actually spend time together outside of training and actually trying to build that unity?
I don't see that, because I'm alluding to what you've just mentioned, that there's that camaraderie amongst them. They, after the training or after the game, that means they go and hang around together. That's where you can tell Sizwe, or you can tell Mahlatsi if he could pass the ball, by the way. I want you to pass me the ball this way. Because I'm a runner, so I just want to meet the ball running.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So there isn't that talk. Today's players are much more into social media. How they look like, how they present themselves in social media or in the social media. The unfortunate part is that it is the platform of Kaizer Chiefs, or whatever team that you are playing for. that gives you that edge to be even closer to social media and the people you know.
Yes.
So you have first to dig deep here. Make this team to be there at the top. Then eventually you will be at the top. So there isn't that understanding.
For sure.
Brafani, talking about synergy, Mambush tells me a story of him, Roger, and Chugu. So Coach Ted will do his thing in the dressing room. But when they walk to the field, Roger will grab him, then grab Chugu. And he says, you, that way. You, that way. That was their stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where the synergy comes in, because Roger knew that was his instruction. When he has the ball, he knows where Mambush must go. He knows where Chugu must go. And like we are saying, I don't think those things are happening, not only at Chiefs per se, but generally our players sometimes don't have that thing of taking responsibility when they are on the pitch, forgetting about what the coach said and dealing with a situation or a match situation that faces them at that particular time on the field.
You're so right. It's like they want to be spoon-fed with all the information. But when you are in the field of play, you use your own discretion. And an Englishman will say, you need that synchronization.
Yes.
For you to be able to be in understanding that if the right side is moving this way, the left side probably is moving back or is moving to the side. And all that. So it those things are lacking. Chuku and Momambosh and all of them, the team talk will be held by the coach, and then the coach will say whatever. When they go out, they say, hey, no, we're better. We need to play it this way.
Yeah.
You know, that was then, because they were confident.
Yes.
By the way, Jerry Skosana that we are talking about, I saw him at school when I was at Tembisa.
Yes.
And I recommended him to Eddie Lewis.
Okay.
Back then.
Yes.
When he came to train with the Blackpool.
Yes, he told me the story.
Then he was shocked, Eddie Lewis. And the rest again is history. Jerry Skosana became a star.
And that's the story which we don't know.
Now, the names you're mentioning now, I mean, listen to these names. Jerry Skosana, Shane McGregor, Fanny Matita, all goal scorers. And when you look at the current Chiefs team, we are at a position where we're in, what, end of April? One win this year. For Chiefs in all competitions, one win.
And that's one goal for Zuma Ben as well. Just one goal.
Yeah. Royal AM didn't score at the start of the year. 0-0. Then there was a Milford Nedbank Cup game. Milford finished the game with 10 men. Chiefs didn't score. Chiefs didn't score against Swallows, who are struggling themselves. Pete Arrows didn't score against Pirates, and the story then continues. Clearly, scoring is a problem. And how then do you fix this problem? Because in some games, they create chances. It's a question of finishing. What's different from you guys to these guys?
So, we know what you are saying is so profound. In 2007, when I was at Chiefs assisting Musin, Mr. Mdaung used to say, we need to create a position for a coach that will coach the strikers.
Yes.
You look at them now, they are not even staying behind. They are going home because they finished training. What I used to do, what we used to do, the old players, after the team has finished training, we take these balls and you just hit the net. You get used to it. I think Dupree at Chiefs is one of the best attackers in this game. But he needs coaching. You know?
Yeah.
You see him, you remember him at Stellenbosch. Because he had coaching. He was coached. Steve Parker, we need to applaud him. He's doing very well. He is coaching his players. And he was a different player. Even now, I believe that Dupree can be a top goal scorer. That can even score more goals than the batch that you have mentioned now. You see Abonga Nomvete, Fanny Matita, and who else? He can score more. Poland didn't score that much. He was much more worried about his hairstyle.
Shame, my goodness.
He did score, but not that much.
He's cut his hair, by the way.
Coach, Because I can also call your coach. Where do they find the coach? Because you look around the PSL, I don't think there's somebody who is readily available who can actually go there and make an impression. People have mentioned some of the top African coaches who are Champions League experience. Coach Pizzo, I don't think Coach Pizzo will come back. Brulan won't go there. Rivero won't go there. I don't know about Coach Steve. We mentioned Coach Parker at Stellenbosch, has done very well there. Coach Gavin Hunt, unlikely. Who can go there? They will have to go overseas. What?
Let's make this a two-part question. Also, should we in South African football now start to think of the trend that's happening internationally, where maybe you do have a Kevin Johnson, but then you have a Benny McCarthy as a striker's coach, as is the case of Manchester United, where Benny's just the striker's coach, the forward coach. He helps with just the finishing about Rashford and so on. Should we then think of it that way and start to move and evolve that way in South African football?
Probably it is correct to say that, because you remember I said 2007, the chairman mentioned that we need a striker's coach in future. So the chairman of Kaizer Chiefs, he's always a visionary. Mm. He sees things that far beyond that time. So I think the combination will work at you, but you need that template that is lost. I don't know where the template is. Mm-hmm. Because Chiefs always had their English coaches, and it's most of the time they were the ones that were successful at Chiefs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until the time when a European now, like Mohsin, came, they won an African competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So you just need to find the lost, whatever that is lost around there.
Mm. So I like that you say that, Yas Brafani, because I was looking into, you know, our football structures, mainly from the big three, Mamelodi Sundowns, Kaizer Chiefs and Orlando Pirates, and the role of a sporting director. It's something that perhaps we don't take seriously in South Africa, but in Europe, that's a very big role. Yes. Mamelodi Sundowns in 2022, they brought in a man who was, of course, a head scout at Chelsea, Portugal, and he has so much experience, and you see the role that he plays, because a lot of people try and get to as to what exactly does a sporting director do. But in terms of the development, they are in charge of that. They also look into, of course, the kind of players that come into scouting the club, the scouting as well. But now at Kaizer Chiefs, when I looked into their website as to who then their sporting director is, it's Kaizer Motaung Jr. And now you look history. Okay, where's Motaung been? You know, which players would he be, I don't know, possible to bring in or advise the club into? Talk to us about the importance of the role and getting the right person at that role.
That's why Sundowns is ahead.
Yeah.
Exactly what we are saying. It because they evolved. They moved further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then they said, let's get a person from outside who is going to come and scout. So that means you bring a person within South Africa who's been with this team. You bring him closer to this guy here. And then he works with him. It's like think global and act local. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You need to have that mix. If it achieves, it is Kaizer Junior. That means Kaizer Junior must go out there and look for people that used to scout for Chiefs. Mm-hmm. You have the likes of Farouk Khan and Chiefs supporters also. I was spotted by a supporter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, supporters, it's important to listen to them. Which player now that is hot, where you go there, you must create your own satellite structure. So that player, you see them there, you go and see that player. If it's good enough, then you invite them to the development, you know, to Chiefs institution, rather than just bringing whoever at the Chiefs institution, because then it loses that stature. You know, you don't take anyone and say, go and have a trial at Chelsea at Man United at Orlando Paris. No. These players from outside, they must respect, you know, the brand. So we've lost that at Chiefs. They need to go back and humble themselves and try to get answers.
Well, when you look at the current situation now at Kaizer Chiefs, they're sitting with an interim coach. We've spoken about the record, the season, or the year, and their struggles. What do they do? Stay with Kevin Johnson? I think it's 19 from a possible 45 points that he's been able to get, which is below par in his time there for a Kaizer Chiefs coach. Or see out the season with him. Where do you go at this point? There's not much time remaining in this league, in this season.
I think Adazwane's time was short-lived.
Mm.
They needed to bring in a person who was going to advise Arthur or create a group of a think tank for the team so that Arthur could thrive. Because he is one of us, he's one of them. Yeah, he knows the ins and outs, yes. He knows the charter culture of the team. So now you take him out and then you bring in a person who doesn't know about the culture of Chiefs. He thinks he reads about it.
For sure.
And he thinks he will know about it now. You won't know about it now. I would say take him aside and prepare for next season.
With who?
With whom?
Arthur is still there at development.
Was the most bring Arthur back here?
Yeah. Why not?
So, sticking with that, right, with the culture, and I find that always so interesting because when you look into the Kaizer Chiefs players, Rafani, right, and there's a lot of chatter, a lot of people saying that, no, most of these players don't deserve to play for Kaizer Chiefs. But when you talk about seniority, and I remember when Itulme Nkune was suspended, there was a lot of the treatment of how he was treated and how he was suspended, and looking at the fact that he's known the club throughout. So now these new players come in, and you try to say seniority, who respects who at this club, and who's leading this club. Who are the leaders, in your opinion, Brafani, when you look into this club, and do these players speak Kaizer Chiefs' identity? Do they speak Kaizer Chiefs culture?
Well, if that's an interesting one and very controversial question, because my response will be very controversial. But I will break it down in a very modest way.
Mm-hmm.
You talked initially. Firstly, you want to know about the treatment of Kune.
Yeah.
I think. You remember it was the time Kaizer Juma Jr. just took over.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the right thing that they did because of whatever that Kune did. Mm-hmm. Didn't go along towards what the team strives for, what the team says, you know, in terms of disciplinary measures or issues. So they did well by disciplining him because that's the sign of showing strength,
yes,
you know, within the management. They did very well. But then there was this vacuum. You are right. There is that vacuum then in terms of a hierarchy of players now. Who is going to go in this vacuum that is left by Kune?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So they just miss it there because you need to look at the players that have been there with the team, so that they can really talk to the new ones about Chiefs, who is Kaizer Chiefs and what is Kaizer Chiefs.
Mm.
Because some of them, they don't understand how does it feel to the supporters when they lose a game.
Mm.
Because Kaizer Motaung, the chairperson, will always say, just play and play your heart out so that you put a smile on the subject.
Now, look at this. SuperSport, Sundowns, AmaZulu, Polokwane City, and Cape Town Spurs. Those are the upcoming games. The question is, where do you see points coming? More so, where do you see goals coming?
Only Cape Town Spurs.
Only Cape Town Spurs. But you can guarantee possibly a win.
You could have said the same
about Milford. You could have said the same about Milford.
Could have, yeah.
It's tough. Now, when you look at this list of fixtures, to say, going forward, where are the points and the goals coming from?
You're quite right. It is really bleak when you look at it. But if they come up with the solutions that we're talking about here, you know, because if you bring Arthur back, you say to Coach Kevin, you try to do your best, but let's give this one a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Players, normally, you know the game, they get motivated when the new man comes.
Yes.
You know, you'll see magic.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see players that you didn't trust, that they achieve the material, you know, surprising you with their performance.
Mm-hmm.
There are players there at Chiefs that are good enough to be called or to be profiled as chief players. The problem is coaching and understanding the culture of how to do things at Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Can we just look at it in a holistic way? Obviously, Sundowns are where they are now. They're good, and they do things right. It's a well-oiled machine, both on and off the field. But also, there has been this sense that though they are good, they are even made too good by the fact that underneath
standards are low.
The standard is low. Pirates also in the league, if we are to be honest, they've been very, very, very poor. They are not where they're supposed to be. Stellenbosch are on top of them as we speak now. Is it maybe that the pressure is not that much? I mean, if you look at how Stellenbosch struggles in the Champions League, if they were struggling like that in the league, will they still be as dominant as they are?
You see, there is always a difference when it comes to intensity mm-hmm. in football. You will look at the EPL and then you look at the Champions League.
Mm.
And don't be fooled by what you see in action on TV. Mm. If you go and watch these games live, those boys, they are very intense. Even when they run, you can see, this is a player that is trained.
Mm. Mm.
You understand? Mm. He's tuned for that. So PSL standard of playing and the style of play is too slow at times. So when Sundowns go to play in the Champions League, they have a problem.
Yeah.
Unless they push themselves in all the games, they play with high intensity, then it will be easier for them to compete in the Champions League with that intensity. Sometimes the standard is not on the same par as in the other countries, but you can go out and check those countries where they are, what is their standard, and you'll find out that maybe they are just there two teams or three teams that are strong. The rest are like Umkuba.
Umkuba. All right, Rafani. Talk to us then when you look into Kaizer Chiefs. I mean, you've mentioned the fact that Atazwana could be, of course, the possible change that Kaizer Chiefs need. When you look into the players, there's also a lot of calls. I mean, you say listen to the fans. The fans mentioned the likes of bringing a Jaden Adams, bringing a Titus from Stebbies to Kaizer Chiefs, sign them now while they are young. What's your thought on bringing youngsters like that from Stellenbosch, or be it from Shandre Campbell's from SuperSport United, to Kaizer Chiefs while they are young and not coming from, of course, the Kaizer Chiefs development?
With the pressure as well.
They will struggle. That one, they will struggle. You don't do that. Chiefs need to look at their backyard here, the development. There are players that are there. It is just that they need to be convinced that those players will make it through to the senior team. You look at Liverpool. Klopp just went down and took the young stars. Mm. Look at them. They are competing. Mm. So you need to give them confidence. The likes of Shabalala are there at Chiefs.
Yeah.
But again, it goes back to coaching, and also make sure that this young star knows that you are not carrying Kaizer Chiefs. You are so young, far away from carrying Kaizer Chiefs. Play him 10 minutes, 15 minutes and all that until they get used to it. It's just that it is late now.
Yeah.
But they need to play probably with the instincts and hope that if Arthur comes in, they will be motivated.
One last one for me. Mm-hmm. It's an important one. The fans going through a very rough time. How important is it for the fans now to understand that the Chiefs is beyond the point where we can say, look, we need to let you go because we can't guarantee your safety as the coach? The fans need to play their part. They need to behave in the stands. Even when things aren't going well, they need to be patient. They're playing a part in this whole thing, then, in how when Chiefs let some coaches go, the fans behave.
Patience.
Yeah.
That's not the term that is in their minds. Patience. Because you remember the years now, it's been a long time for Chiefs not winning anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they probably need to go back to those coaches that won things at Chiefs and try and have interviews, find out what makes them to petite, what makes them to help the team to where it was. Baxter, the Noble Mushin Etwal. Those are the key. You know, you can come with whatever coach achieves at this moment for next season. They will always struggle as long as you don't have a coach that knows Chiefs here from the structures of Chiefs.
Maybe also lastly from me, for people who are maybe a little bit younger who didn't understand, who have not seen the glory days at Kaizer Chiefs, you were part of the glory days at Chiefs. Can you just give us a brief sense of how it was? You know, the types of players that you played with the Chiefs. During
the environment as well.
There are some people who are at university now, they've never seen Chiefs live with anything.
You want to embarrass Claude? No.
It's not me, I'm quite old, Prophet.
But look, you had players like Skaratinda. You had players like Trevor Mtimkulu, Chipa Mladedi, Ace Nsweleng, Ace Kuse himself, Dr. Kumalo, Rudolf Siala, ZMAP, Howard Fries, players of stature. And they were born with that stature. But when you join Chiefs, your shoulders, you know, they become broader. Because that's you are just coming in and join the legacy that is left by the likes of Ace Kuse, I mean, about Ace Nsweleng, that's us. And then we try to go beyond that, Max Mapunyane, you know. And the atmosphere, totally unbelievable. Because Chiefs' strength back then, even today, I would think, the management side of it. Chiefs always had a strong management. So everything at Chiefs, we never left for chance. It was always... So the environment pushed you to excel. You go out for training. The guys that came there as coaches, like Augusto Palacios, who introduced the real professionalism in South African football, by the way. Because then we started to have our shirts, shorts, and there at the club, and shoes there at the club, they would polish them. So you just come with your toilet bag.
Yeah.
You know, all those things, they are small, but those are the big details that makes you to be the character of a player that is profiled to play for Kaizer Chiefs. And fearless. Fearless. When you go in there, you know that these ones we are going to beat. When I played, we didn't lose one game. The whole season, if you recall, Mashati.
Maybe last year. Talking about the small details. I was at the match Sundown Swallows recently, and something struck me in terms of taking care of the small but important details. As I was going into the stadium, I saw a Sundowns truck reversing into the lift. There were about 6-7 people around. Those were caterers, the club caterers, taking food inside the stadium. There was a room that was specifically set for the players. They were loading a fridge into the lift with drinks, water. You know, when the players finish playing, they go upstairs, they eat, they get into the bus, they go to the hotel, take their cars, and they go home. Those are the things that you need. It's not even about football. Yeah. So if you get stuff like that behind the scenes,
Sundowns really set the bar higher for others to join. When I was at Udinese, I was at Udinese, and some years ago, you had fridge in the field of play there, in the dressing room. You just walk out, and there is a fridge. You take out the juice before then, you refuel before you go outside. When I was at Juventus, during the times of Roberto Baggio, Schillaci, and all of them, so I visited them 1992, I think, yes. When you take out your clothes in the dressing room, you take out everything, no underwear. The shorts, they do have their own underwear, which is like a tight. And then you dress accordingly. Then you go down. That means you're passing a gym now. you lift a bit of weight, mm-hmm. and then you go upstairs, you go to the fitness plan.
Sure.
So these are the small details. Mm. Then I went to AC Milan. Mm. During the time of Rijkaard,
Maldini,
Ancelotti, the coach now, he was playing as the number six. Mm. So we went there to visit with Howard Fries, because that time I won everything in South African football.
Mm.
So it was my award. To go and visit these areas. Yeah, no, I've been around there. I've seen these things. Paredes was Fabio Capello. Fabio Capello was the coach at the time. So I've seen these things. They are possible. And they make you to be a different person.
Yeah.
Here. So someone said, well, some of us are delivering their food there. Those ones are probably getting streetwise two and pop.
I don't believe that. I refuse.
I've seen that actually.
He's a Sundown supporter. He's a Sundown supporter, remember?
Yeah, this one is a big Sundown supporter, I can tell. But Rafani, before we let you go, I want to find out your opinion in terms of the technical team, right? I mean, when you were assistant to Mushin and you won two trophies with him, right? Now you look into Kaizer Chiefs and the importance of having former players who have actually done well. I mean, we speak of the pedigree, right, of players who've won everything, imparting at Kaizer Chiefs and being a part of that, because we see now a Brandon Peterson, he will be the one that's shouting and be the one that's, you know, throwing charges at the bench, and normally you'd expect maybe an assistant, someone who's been there, to be the one that's leading that technical team. Talk to us about that.
He's very energetic, the goalkeeper. but that energy, you need to control it.
Yeah.
So when you have structures, and you have people of a different pedigree sitting on the bench, you won't see that happening. Mm. Because that environment, technical area, is controlled.
Yeah.
There are only two people who can stand up, head coach and the assistant coach.
Mm.
The masseur will only go in the field of play if there is a player that needs help inside.
Mm.
So, again, you're going by those are the details.
Yeah.
Because all of them, they know. So they knew then that only the head coach and the coach will stand up. Even with me as an assistant, I don't just stand up. You need to get a cue from the head coach. You know, I knew all about football, but the important part of it is that when you are an assistant coach, be an assistant coach. Don't try to be a mini head coach. Assist this guy.
Carry your position.
You know, carry your position. If he gives you a cue, okay, you can stand up, then you can stand up. But you need to take a lot of shocks from the head coach that are going to the players. You try to be a buffer.
Yes.
Between the head coach and the players, because head coaches, they become very angry. I'm the same when I'm a head coach.
Yeah.
But when I'm an assistant coach, I'm an assistant coach.
Mm.
Yeah, so that discipline, you really, really need it.
All right, you've answered me, Profani, and we could go on and on talking to you, but unfortunately, we ran out of time. But we'll need a part two, because this was definitely short. Yes,
now well. I want to find out more about AC Milan.
I also wanted to ask him, what is his play of the season? It's a hot topic.
Yes, it is.
Well, it depends which players, because nowadays you don't know which players. But I know it's Sundowns. There is a player, Mukwena.
Yeah.
He's done very well.
Yeah.
But I want to focus on the defenders.
Uh-huh.
Because defenders, we don't look at them. We're looking at those that have scored
goalkeepers.
And goalkeepers. You know.
So which defenders are you looking at, Profani?
The player.
Yeah, the defenders.
With the defenders?
Yeah.
Well, at the moment, I'm looking at the four-man line defense of different teams. You just have to go and check which team has considered the less number of goals. Or at least, yeah.
All right, and that's how we, of course, wrap up this conversation with Profani. But for now, Mahlatsi Mphahlele was our runner who went to Naturena. Let's find out, of course, what some of the players had to say ahead of their fixture against SuperSport United.
I don't know the answer to that question, but I think I can work out something for you. I think we mentally it's been tough, you know, trying to figure out how how we go about things, you know, how we gonna try and win games, you know. I think for us it's just when we concede, I think that's been our mental block. I think the conceding board has been the mental block, you know, where we concede and we can't get back into games, you know. I think that's been something, because in the last game we created the most chances in the first half, and once Richards Bay scored, we just couldn't get anywhere close to the goal. So I think that's something we need to work on. I think it's just mental strength. I think that's where we lack. But I feel like also we need to create more chances for our strikers, me included. You know, I think that's putting in better crosses for our strikers to get onto, and then our midfielders creating better chances for our strikers to score. So I think that's something that we need to work on.
Well, good to hear, of course, that the players are honest and saying that they are feeling the pressure, but hopefully things will turn around. Matlatsin Patlela, you were there. Talk to us perhaps about the body language and what else that you picked up at Naturena.
Yeah, well, they looked in good spirits, joking around. You know, looks like a good camp, but obviously, knowing what we know, they are really, really going through the most. We spoke to Sitebe, to Solomons, and to the young Shabalala. And the theme is pretty much the same, that they are aware that they are in a hole, and there's some way, somehow, needs to find a way that they can dig themselves out of this hole. I mean, for their sake, I really hope that they do. I think finishing second is a bit of a stretch. Finishing third, also a bit of a stretch, but it's possible. If they try and, you know, get a good number of points from the remaining matches, they can try and compete. Because if you look, it's Stellenbosch, it's Pirates, they're the top, it's Chase Galaxy, anything can happen there. You can see what's happening in England now, that teams are dropping points at a stage where you don't expect them to drop points. So a good finish will do them good. I think they need to finish well to sort of cushion for next season, for the off season, and for next season. But if they can push for a curve spot, that will really, really be good for them.
Well, we looked at the fixtures that are coming up. It's hard to see how they can have a great finish by their standards. But let's hope that's the case. It starts with SuperSport United in the next game. We haven't won a game this year. So they've been doing worse than Kaizer Chiefs. But I want to ask you about the coach not being there at the press conference. Many will try and read into that. Is the pressure now starting to tell, do you think, with Kevin Johnson? I ask this because you remember Nedbank Cup, he made promises. He said the wait for trophies ends at the Nedbank Cup. They had Milford, they bombed out of that. He made promises earlier on in the season as well to the fans, and nothing has gone according to plan. To a point where it's a bit of a horror show 2024 right now. Do you think there's pressure? Can we read much into the fact that he wasn't at the press conference?
Read much? Maybe not really. But it's a bit surprising. You know, Coach Kevin can hold his own against anything. I mean, he has been there for the longest time. And, you know, the unofficial reasoning was that, you know, he'll be available for the preview of the match against Sundowns. But he has always been available for the preview of all the matches, you know, for the entire season. It's a weird way that they've chosen to do this, but you can almost sense that they are trying to protect the man from the questions that are going to come.
And more promises, Matlatsi.
You know, yeah, he likes shooting his mouth at the guy. Also, he just makes all sorts of promises. So I think it's something that can inadvertently open up a lot of speculation from the fans. But the coach was there, Kaizer Motaung Jr. was there, some of the officials were there. You know, they didn't look down and out and grumpy, and they looked okay.
For sure.
We were allowed to watch a bit of training. They did what they always do. You know, hopefully they can translate that sort of good spirit into their match against SuperSport at the weekend.
All right, so let's keep it moving now to the good part. I mean, this is a part of the season where we try to figure out who's going to win which accolade. Player of the season, always the biggest one. And I want to find out from you, gentlemen. I'll start with you, Mahlatsi Mphahlele, as to who would be your candidate. Perhaps you can give us top three, right, as to who could possibly win player of the season.
It's a tough one. Our season is... Or maybe let me say this season. It hasn't been that season where there was just one player who shot the lights out.
Really?
There's been sporadic good performances here and there. There's been good performances at Stellenbosch, a team that has really, really, really impressed me. A lot of good things have been said about Coach Kevin, about the coach there. I was speaking to a coach who attended the recent CAFA lessons. They say that Coach Steve also, he talks good football. And it's not surprising that he's doing that with the Stellenbosch team that just loses players and doesn't look like they've lost players. There's been some good performance at Pirates. There's been some good performance at TS Galaxy. I like that. I like Mujela. I think he's a good player. And also you can see the influence of the coach. The Test Galaxy coach is a bit of a maverick. No, maverick not in a bad way. He's out there, he talks, he ruffles feathers. But also he's a good coach, you know. Sikukune, since Lefekolo Seema arrived, they've done the things. I'm just in awe of what Lindam Tambo has been able to overcome. To sort of leading their charge.
You know, one thing I can pick up from what you're saying, Mahlatsi, coach of the season is going to be an easy decision for you. You can give me a top three.
I actually do have a different view on that one. I can touch on it a bit. But coming back to the player of the season, I will say my player of the season, I'll give it to Ronan Williams. Ronan has been consistent. Obviously, he's playing in front of a good four. Hence, they've considered, I think, about only 5 goals in the league. But I like him because of, he's just not the guy who sits there to stop the goals, but he makes them to play. I've often said in the past that when Ronwin does his own things of picking up players in the midfield with just one pass, he's like Sundowns, I've got one extra player. So he will be my player for the season. I've been impressed with Patrick Maswanganyi. I've said it here on a number of occasions that I like him. I just sometimes he makes me angry with the unnecessary things that he likes to do. And you can see people likes him. And he has had a very good second half of the season. He started slowly, but he has picked up now. And also credit to the coach. I think he has worked very, very well on him. My other player who has impressed me is Devon Titus at Stellenbosch. All the good things that happen at Stellenbosch are happening around him.
For sure.
Mujela at Chess Galaxy, I like him. Chandra Campbell at Supersport, you know. So yeah, but my top three will be Ronza, Patrick, and Titus at Stellenbosch.
All right, I like it. Sizwe Mabena, please try and not copy my
Mahlatsi Mphahlele. All the honorable mentions, so it's okay. You know what I mean? All the honorable mentions have been done already, and I agree with you. In the teams that are playing well, I like the fact that right now in the PSL, there's so many teams that are nice to watch.
For sure.
You mentioned Galaxy, you mentioned Skukumine, love to watch them. SuperSport have fallen off the boil somewhat. Pirates are great to watch. Stellenbosch, great to watch, but there can only be one player for me, and you've already touched on it. It's not just about saves with him. He does so much in playing. And that example we saw with Sundowns against Skukune most recently. Notice to us Dennis Onyango. Please, let's get this straight. Dennis Onyango is one of my favorite goalkeepers after the Hanery ever, on the continent, that is. But Sundowns trying to play it out from the back, Onyango was part of the problem in the decisions of where the ball goes and whom it goes to, and they're struggling in that regard to a point where the other Onyango, Brian Onyango, also caught flak as well. For me, they both take a bit of the blame and share it.
Oh, look at you working now, eh? When you're working, you're commentating, you see things now.
back.
He's back.
So, for me, that was a compliment to Ronwin.
Yeah.
And the normal back four as well. Mm. It's just the playing out from the back. That's what I was doing so well. So, Ronwin, my player of the season.
Uh-huh.
Coach of the season for me, Barker, for what he's done at Stellenbosch, was so little. Mm-hmm. My young player of the season.
My goodness, you're giving me all the categories.
Yeah, I'm just cutting it all out now.
Terrible season.
My young player of the season is Young Mofokeng at Pirates. For a young man to play at that level with that much confidence and still make right decisions, at times he doesn't overdo it, which I like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when he does turn on the magic, it's magical.
It definitely is.
So that's it. That's
all
it
right.
For me.
Thank you so much, Cesar Mabena, for taking your time.
And my ref of the season.
No way, Cesar. We don't have time for that. No.
In the lunchman.
Like one of the season.
Terrible. Are you putting yourself in?
No, officer.
Absolutely unruly. But we love it here on the Arena Sports Show. Please indulge us as well. We'd love to hear from you. Who would, of course, your player of the season be? Would love to know. Indulge us, I guess, with the commentator of the season, Cesar Mabena. Would love a young
already?
Mention there. He's putting himself there. But thank you so much for joining us. That's how we wrap up the Arena Sports Show. Cheers. Goodbye.